Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith Podcast. Up next, a new segment called Words with Friends with unstoppable guest Selena Hill. She shares about her media career journey and shares her tips for underdogs that want to make it in the media biz. Then Selena and the Underdog Stuff crew play a game of unscripted Words with Friends word association game. And then we finish the episode with me sharing about some words and phrases that I believe should be retired. Enjoy and look out for the full Words with Friends episode later this week. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do every week here at WATR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And you get coverage, you get opinions and coaching of underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life. And every now and then, we have the honor of going on the journey of an underdog. And we bring through special guests to talk about the grind, the hustle, and the unexpected fun of going from underdog to being on top. And so with that, this week's Journey of an Underdog special guest is Selena Hill.
Oh, wow.
In the building.
Oh, my goodness.
Speaking of words with friends, I like to say two words when I talk about Selena. Media mogul.
Oh, good. Ooh. You must be speaking into the future.
Hey, you are a media mogul at the start of your journey.
You know what? I'll take that. I'll take that. Thank you so much, Greg, for having me on the show. Hey, guys, you guys have a great show. I don't know how I deserve this honor to be featured on the show. Maybe because I called in like 2 weeks ago and y'all were like, let's just get her in the studio.
Yes.
No, she is pretending to be Kendrick Lamar and way too humble right now.
So no, that's my theme song.
Stop this right now.
I listen to that all the time. I'm like, stay humble. Stay humble. Literally, I listen to Kendrick and I tell myself that. But well, thank you guys.
Yeah, well, I get why you might want to stay humble because you are an entrepreneur journalist. You are also the founder of Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio and digital editor of Black Enterprise.
Yes, thank you so much. And I also contribute to What's Eating Harlem, which is a local TV show that comes on PBS affiliate New York City Life. Season 6 is coming up.
Hold on now. But what about Bold TV 2?
Oh, shoot. I forgot about Bold TV 2. Yes, I am a reoccurring co-anchor on the show. So, and I have the, you know, I'm definitely blessed to be featured on that show. Carrie Shutfield is the founder of it. She's often on like Fox News, and she has like another show that I used to do. She does the first show with Clay Aiken.
Okay.
So I was on their show with Clay, and then they
see
did
how
a
she
spinoff.
Drops a see her underdog. She just drops names like, you know, Clay Aiken.
So then they did a spinoff, and they needed another co-anchor, so they allowed me to come in and do co-anchoring on that show pretty often. So it's a great experience, guys.
Hey, well,
I'm just blessed to be on the Underdog Stuff show.
Yeah, so let's get into it. We often talk about, there's two things to most people's stories, right? There's where they're at. That's very visual to people. They see Selena Hill on Instagram, on Bold TV. They listen to you from 11 to 1 here on WATR. They're like, she's doing it. She's balling out. And then the other part is like, well, how did she get here? And when we talk Journey of Underdog, we like to really talk about, well, how did they get here? So that folks who may be going through it all and aren't yet founder of a radio show and program and doing what you're doing, we want them to know what that's like. So I want to start at the beginning. Earlier in the show, one of our topics was Free 99, about having access to things at low cost. Or the flip side can be you might be doing things and not getting paid. How did you get started in this media journey that you're on?
Well, it took years to get here. And when I first started my journey, I was doing a lot of things that I was not paid for. I graduated SUNY Old Westbury with a degree in media and communications, and I graduated with high accolades from the college. I even spoke at graduation. And then it took 3 months for me to score an unpaid internship. So I started interning at a renowned digital news outlet, which focused on politics. And I was doing that for 3 months. I was working 50 hours a week at this internship for not even a stipend. I don't even know if that's legal in New York City anymore, by the way.
Probably not. But
yeah, no, definitely. And then I had to work retail on the weekends in order to like compensate and, you know, to earn some money. So I did that for a while. And then after that internship ended, I started interning at WOR 710 AM Radio, which is now owned by iHeartRadio. So I was interning there. And then luckily that internship eventually opened up the door for me to become an assistant producer. Okay. But I was working as an assistant producer for WOR for I think a few months, but it was only part time, so I couldn't stay there either. So like my mom was like, you know, we invested a lot of money into your college education, and you know, I understand, you know, I really don't understand this trajectory and why you're not, you know, really getting paid a lot of money. You're either working for free or part time. You're still at the retail place on the weekends. And she was like, you know, what are you doing? So I actually at that time I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go to J school and get a master's degree in journalism. And I was on my way to going to CUNY, the CUNY J school here in New York City. And I literally fell asleep while taking the GRE. Like, I just knocked out. And I took that as a sign, like, maybe, you know what, maybe instead of trying to work for another degree, I should focus on trying to work for money. Right. So I did that.
Well, you know what? That's so, Selena, that's so interesting that you say that in terms of, you know, how your parents reacted, because so much times in the community, like, of color, it's that you get forced to sort of go into jobs like that are more traditional, right? Like nursing or, you know, being a lawyer or something like that, where your family can honestly like see specifically like how you're going to make money, whereas something more like media and communications isn't really like a traditional type of job, you know, trajectory. And it's so interesting because people that come from sort of more well-off type families, their parents would never really ask them that question. Their parents would not be saying, you know, we invested a lot in your education and like, when are you gonna get a job? Only like a year after you finish school. Like, there's people that finish school that don't get paid for years after, and their family is just like, no, you know, you're just sort of living your dream and you're doing your own thing. But out of necessity of having to contribute and to support yourself, I think that that's really interesting as to how you took that and took it upon yourself to try to, you know, now then be like, this is what I want to do, but now let me focus on how can I get paid for it.
Absolutely. No, you are absolutely right with that.
Now you, speaking of, what are you doing with your parents said something to you during those 50-hour work weeks and getting pressure from parents and maybe even family, other family and friends, why did you keep going even though people were even questioning, like, what are you doing?
That's a great question, Greg. And I was almost embarrassed because, like I said, when I graduated college, I was very highly esteemed. And then people were like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, interning. And so I kind of felt bad about myself in a situation. But, I mean, I had to keep going. Like, I couldn't just end the internship. I mean, it opened up the door for so many things for me. Like, it sort of felt like a crash course in digital media production, mm-hmm. and also in political journalism. So it was a great experience, but I mean, I couldn't just stop. I had to use that as a stepping stone.
You could have stopped, but you kept going.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, you know what? Because even though, like, my mom was really on my back at that time, she still gave me enough support to say, okay, I see you're trying. Like, she knew that I was still going out and working 7 days a week. So she was like, you're not making any money, but the least I can do is try to support your dreams the best way I can.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to make one point for the underdogs listening about when family or friends come at you about what you're doing. It's actually a gift. And the gift is, it's either, and most of the time it comes from a place of love, right? Your mom doesn't want anything bad to happen to you. But when you get questioned by family and friends about your dream and what you're doing, you either get to reaffirm to them that you're making your stand and like you're all in, or sometimes even their doubt may allow you to figure out that maybe you're not that committed to it. Like, it's an opportunity for you to really look at, am I really committed to this or not? And they're not coming at me because they hate me. They, like, love me. They want me to be safe and secure. And if you really want it and they get that cinch, you'll be surprised how eventually they'll come around to being on your side. And it sounds like you were like, no, mom, like, I'm in it to win it.
No, I'm committed.
And I think there's something really special about being passionate about what you want to do and what you want to be in life. You know, not a lot of, to be honest, there's a lot of people out there that have very safe and secure jobs, and you ask, but they hate them. And you ask them, what would you rather be doing? And they cannot answer the question. So the fact that you, at such a young age, coming out of college, knew exactly what you were going to do and knew that it was going to be hard to do it and were willing to make sacrifices in your life, I think is a lot to be, there's a lot to be said for that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So now.
Y'all make it sound so good.
It is.
Hey, so now you get this first paid gig. All is right with the world, right? You made it.
Mama made it.
Right? Isn't it, that's right?
No.
So what happened? You got the pay gig, then what? Like, it wasn't like the music didn't start playing happily ever after?
No, it was only part time. So when I started getting a paycheck and getting paid to work in media as a journalist, it was part time. Like, I was still even working retail at that time as well. Until I eventually got fired from my retail job, and I was like, all right, so I'm all in now. But definitely not. Like, that's why I started, around this time is when I really started thinking about going back to school.
Okay.
So took the GRE. Obviously, I couldn't finish the test. So then after that, I think I just started going to job fairs, and I started, like, really looking for, like, a secure job. And I ended up securing two positions. One, I started freelancing at the New York Amsterdam News here in Harlem. And then I started working at New Vision and Business Magazine as the online editor. So, I did that for, like, 2 years. And that really opened up more doors. It came with a ton of perks. Not a ton of money. Like, it was stable, you know, like, okay. It was a consistent paycheck, but, I mean, I was getting paid scraps, because, I mean, like, especially in media, like, you have to really put in a lot of grunt work before they want to pay you, and you have to, like, almost, like, prove yourself. And I remember I used to talk to Stanley, who's my co-host on Let Your Voice Be Heard, and a longtime friend, and he was like, Selena, like, you're borderline being exploited. Like, you have talent. Like, you've been doing this for a few years now. Why don't you put a demand or put some value on the work you're doing? And he just kept saying it and saying it. And I was just like, well, Stanley, it's a great opportunity. Like, I can go out here and do this stuff for free, even though it's outside of my duties or responsibilities. Like, I'll just keep doing it for the experience. And then eventually I built up that experience at the end of those 2 years. And I was just like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, because now you've gone from getting an understanding of the industry, showing that you can add value, and now it's time to flip the switch to, I get to be compensated for the value I create in the world. Very cool.
And I know, Gregory, we had talked a few weeks ago on our show about women understanding their value and knowing what to ask for. And, you know, obviously, you know, we had talked a little bit about the reason for some of the pay discrepancies is sometimes women don't speak up and say, you know, I want this. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before about people of color, but Stanley is a man, you know, and he's the one that had to come to you and say, you know, you're amazing. Like, why are you not getting paid for what you're doing? Because I wouldn't allow myself to work like that.
No, yep, absolutely. Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge for not only women of all races, but people of color, men and women, oftentimes not negotiating
exactly
the value that they have earned. Because we often say, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate.
There you go. And, I like that.
And that is something to always be mindful of. So for underdogs out there who might want to be a media mogul, and Selena Hill. I know, I had to say Selena Hill because you didn't know I was talking about you when I said
that. Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, I'm like, who's this media mogul here? Like, can I take note?
I'm just saying, you created a brand and a platform. Okay. You also, Black Enterprise is a big deal and the things you do. So I'm calling you Media Mogul in progress.
Okay. It just so happens I'll
that
take
I've met you at the start of it.
I love it. I'll take that.
For folks who want to get into media, they're underdogs trying to become contenders in this space. They see it. They're like, ooh, looks cool. I want to be in media. What are some of the tips that you've learned on your journey so far that could help them if they're just starting out?
Yes, sure. I would say consistency is definitely key. You have to keep working at the craft. I mean, like, even if you want to play sports, right, you have to practice every single day. If you want to be a singer, you need to get a singing coach, and you need to just put in that effort and that energy into being the best you can be. That goal, the same thing goes for media. Like, no matter what space in media that you want to work in, you have to continue to work at it, and you need to pay your dues. Like, I say that almost graduating with such high accolades from my college almost put me at a disadvantage, because I had a strong sense of entitlement when I graduated. And I was just like, okay, I did great in college and I did my radio show and I could write. And, you know, why aren't the jobs coming to me? And I really couldn't understand that at that time. And I think a lot of millennials and young people graduate with that sense of entitlement. But so I would say another tip would be, be humble. You know, be humble, definitely. because it takes patience and it takes practice. And also takes humility. And those were some of the lessons that I had to learn on my journey. And I would share that with anyone else. You can do it. Do not get me wrong. There are people who start off blogging every single day and now they're making millions. There are people that start off as interns or even get rejected from being an intern, like Karen Civil. And she now has her own media company and is a mogul. So just keep going, be persistent, and seek out resources as much as you can. If you can find a mentor, if you can start shadowing other people in the broadcast arena or whatever arena media that you want to work in, or even just study them on YouTube. If you don't have access, watch them every single day on YouTube, or watch your social media, watch how they move in this game, and use that to perfect your craft.
No, I love that. So there's consistency, which we call basically the grind. Are you going to keep grinding? There's also the humility, and then I'm a big fan of partnerships. So reaching out to people, mentors, getting access to information, things like that. The humility piece, I will share a story about humility and the whole idea of this journey. So I'm a little older than you. I had a 16-year career in corporate America for a Fortune 100 company running businesses and teams around the world. I wanted to get into
making a lot of money at that, too. You want to add that in? You being humble?
I was being humble.
Okay, I got you.
I was well compensated.
Yes, you were. He disclosed beforehand. He told me how much he was earning. I was like, you left your job to do this? Are you kidding me, Greg? But go ahead.
I'm a believer that what I do now creates value in the world, and I actually was underpaid there.
Ooh.
And so I will.
I need to get like that.
Yes, it's the mindset, right?
So, yes, it's the mindset.
So imagine, oftentimes we're in jobs, and this is proven data, about 70% of people hate their jobs. So when I say this statement, most of y'all listening don't like your job, and you're working very hard there. Imagine if you took that same effort and had some passion behind all the hours you spend working doing stuff that you don't even like. Match that with your passion, serve some people, be willing to become great at it. You'll actually create more value in the world for yourself and everybody else. So that's my whole premise. But it took me a little while, because I'll be honest. When I first heard that, a friend said I was underpaid. I'm like, no, I make good money. I ain't underpaid. Let's be clear. I make good. I don't think I'm underpaid at all. But he was right, actually. I was underpaid in terms of my emotional health and then also my monetary, the money I made. But I say that all to say, my humble story is I was at WRD in Philadelphia. They're a for-profit radio station. I wanted to get into the biz. They're Pennsylvania's only black-owned radio station. So the first thing they allowed me to do as an intern, imagine, I've left my career. I'm interning at a radio station in my hometown of Philly. My first job is to intern for a Saturday host who's 24 years old that hosts their millennial show for black millennials. And my job was to answer the phones and do live tweeting. So you want to talk about some humility? And being
How old were you at this time?
I was 38.
Working for a 24-year-old.
Yeah. Yes. Interning on the weekends in Philly, live tweeting and answering the phones for the radio show that he was the lead producer and host of. Humility. Now, with that said, though, doing that early on, he used to tell me, he goes, man, I love you, because he's like, I can't really get any of my friends. They want to just come on and be on the air. They don't want to do anything behind the scenes. And then literally about a couple weeks in, he's like, I have to go on a two-week vacation. We don't want to play reruns of the show. Do you want to host the show those next two Saturdays? Because I was willing to be humble and put in the work. And also they trusted that, oh, if they're willing to put in this effort and they mean it, and they're like, you know what? It's a give and take relationship. And from then on, we would eventually become co-producers and co-hosts of the show, and now he has his own radio show, and I have my own radio show. And but I use that example because my dad often tells me a lot of times us as young people think that when we graduate, our degree said CEO on it, or it said COO, or it said director of something, and it's like, no, it's nowhere on there. Go in there and put in some work, and then, you know, work yourself out. But so I just share that story about humility that I've been there, and it was unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
I was an unpaid phone answerer and live tweeter.
Yes.
So Selena Hill, if folks want more Selena Hill, where can they actually watch you and listen to you?
Absolutely. So I would say, first off, you should follow me on social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Selena Hill. And I spell Miss with an M-S. Then Selena, then Hill. But yeah, I mean, if you're in New York City, you can listen to WHCR by just tuning to 90.3 FM every Sunday at 11 a.m. I host a show called Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio right here. I also do a TV show. If you guys are in New York City, it comes on New York City Life every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. I am a contributing reporter. The main host is Vanessa Tyler, who I love very much. He is a veteran journalist. And if you guys are on Facebook, follow Bold TV because I co-anchor their business show every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We have a lot of fun. We get a lot of big name guests. We didn't have Chance the Rapper, but we had his brother on. And I was just the type. So we get in there. We had his brother on. So I was like, woo, he was there. So, guys, you can tune in there. And am I forgetting anything? Yeah, and you subscribe to our podcast, too, on iTunes. Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio.
See, that's why I call you Media Mogul.
And Black Enterprise. Just go to blackenterprise.com. You'll see my writings there. I write for Black Enterprise.
See why I call you Media Mogul?
Yes, because it's making it into the future.
Yes, just remember, you're a media mogul at the start of your journey.
I need that in like a picture frame, like over my bed. Like, I love that. I love it.
Hey, and we love having you on Underdog Stuff and you gracing us with your presence today.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. You guys have a great show. I told you that. I tell you that all the time.
And we appreciate you. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Underdog Stuff. Today's show theme is Words with Friends. And thank you to Selena Hill for joining us today. More Underdog Stuff after this.
Higher than the moon, higher than the sky.
Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast. And shout out to Selena Hill, who was in the building to talk to us about her journey as an underdog, going from underdog to contender in the media industry.
Yes, yes.
And she, as you just heard, is still in the building.
I'm still here.
And we love that.
They didn't kick me out yet.
No, and we will not be kicking her out. And as always, we have the Underdog Stuff team in the room too, Asha Davis and Kirsten Magwood.
Hi.
And today's theme is Words with Friends. And for the unscripted segment, we're going to play a little word game.
That's exciting.
Yes, I'm going to say a word or phrase that the Underdog Stuff team and Selena don't know what that word or phrase is going to be.
Okay.
And then you get to give your initial thoughts.
Okay.
Three words.
Okay.
Whatever that is. It could be a sentence, it could be three separate words, whatever you want to do. Three words.
Okay.
You can sing it if you want to.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Unscripted.
Okay.
Words with friends. Okay. Or phrases with friends.
I got you.
Donald Trump Jr.
Ridiculous.
Oh, you don't even need two other words. You get three.
He is ridiculous.
And that was Kirsten Magwood. Top that.
I'm going to say like son, like father.
Like son, like father. That's four words.
Okay, fine. That's four words. Oh, I wanted four. I needed an extra.
See, not already.
Birds of a feather.
Mm.
That's four words, too.
Oh, yeah.
Selena Hill, please don't break the rules.
Okay.
Donald Trump Jr.
Okay. Scandalous, liar, fraud.
Well, now, and on that note, I think we can go to the next. I think that pretty much sums it up.
I mean.
All right. Next word. Since we do politics, culture, and personal life, I'll stick with one other political one here.
Okay.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Woman.
True.
Should have been president. That's a phrase of three words. Should have been president. Should have is the
like,
word.
Nah, I mean, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Should have. So, right.
So should have been president.
Yes.
That is. Those are three words in like around the way.
Exactly. See, you didn't say what type of words. Nah, I mean, nah, what type? We could use slang. Speak a little black vernacular. It works.
Hey.
I would say she's the losingest winner.
And get and say that to the
she
mic.
She is the losingest winner.
Losingest. Losing
the losingest.
The no, losingest winner.
Oh, that, yep.
There you go.
Asha Davis, you, my Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I think it's Rodham. Rodham. With an M at the end.
Yes, I say Rodham. And sometimes it's a slip of the tongue.
I am going to say, contrary to popular belief, I'm just gonna caveat my three words. I'm just still gonna say, I'm with her.
Ooh, nice. I like that. Oh. I'm with her.
You two surprised me with that. That's.
I know that you're not, but I am. I'm with
needs
her.
Needs more people.
Okay.
That's a good one too. I like that.
All right, let's move to culture. Kardashian.
Okay. I should probably explain, Mama. I'll explain afterward. Rob the Blob. And the reason why I say Rob the Blob is because I was watching The Breakfast Club last week, and like Charlamagne kept referring to Rob Kardashian as Rob the Blob the whole time. So every time I think of Rob, I think of how he was describing him, Rob the Blob. But I will say, like, it was funny, but like, honestly, like, I think Charlamagne needs to stop body shaming people. But then a lot of people were like, well, Rob Kardashian deserved it for what he did to Blac Chyna. So those are the three words that come to mind when I think of Kardashian.
I concur, and that's a good analysis. He does kind of look like Jabba the Hutt. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. There's a resemblance there.
We'll watch the name calling.
Please watch.
He resembles Jabba the Hutt, who was a big star in Star Wars. No shame in the game. Just a similarity. Just, you know.
Just an observation.
Just an observation.
I can already see that in this word game of Unscripted, none of you are sticking to the three words.
No, Rob the Blob.
Okay, fair enough. Asha Kardashian.
Business.
True.
Women.
Be careful.
Rule. That's all I'm going to say. Business women rule. That's
Black.
All.
Culture vultures.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, Kirsten I like that. Magwood shooting the three, and it's good. All right. Personal life. Let's see. Where do we go here? The phrase will be New York City dating. Three words. Who wants to go first? Don't all jump to the mic at once.
Oh.
Just so, for okay. those watching on Facebook Live, that I'm waiting for a response. So it's interesting. No one's jumped to the mic yet.
Okay, so the first phrase that came to mind is "Where they at though," and I'm just saying, "Where they at though?" Oh man, did I mess up?
Hold on. Even slang wise, is that three though?
That's four. Yeah. But I was gonna say
is one word.
See.
D-A-Y-A-T.
That's
oh,
true.
Yeah, where they at? That's only two words. Oh, though. So where they at though?
And the reason being is
that
because...
That is only three words, actually.
See? Thank you. She worked it out for me. The reason being is because I would be happy if there were more of a bigger selection, I think, when it comes to... Okay, so, like, I prefer Black men. And, like, if there were more out there who were, like, naturally monogamous and, like, heading for marriage, I think that there would be a bigger selection for other women like me.
And that's why you say your thing, where they at though.
Well, pretty much the new buzzword of New York City dating seems to be ethical non-monogamy, which might explain ethical, where they at though.
That's three words. Yep.
Ethical non-monogamy. I'm not really sure how ethical non-monogamy works. Not really my bag of wax, but that may explain where they at though. But I would really say corrupted by options.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like that.
There's just too many options in New York City, honestly. You can date forever. Try settling down. Dating is easy in New York. Try leveling, just getting down to one good option.
From my marketing days, there is something to be said, and we talk about this just in the standpoint of like consumers, but if given sometimes too many options, folks, it makes hard to make a choice. So there is something to the psychology of sometimes if there's too much to choose from, folks may not choose at all.
Exactly. That principle is called the paradox of choice.
Yes. And let's see if you can pick, of all the words to choose from, what three words would you use to describe the phrase New York dating scene, Asha Davis?
I would say gets a bad rap.
That's four.
A bad is one word.
In what language?
A gitsa.
The words expressed here at Underdog Stuff are not necessarily those found in the Webster Dictionary, but if you go to UrbanDictionary.com, you will understand everything we've said so far.
And I expected Asha to come with, like, the swipe life.
Oh, because of Tinder?
Yeah. Because you're about the swipe life.
Yeah, Tinder in New York City, to me, is a lot more fun than it was in Toronto. That's just my two cents. Me not being from here, I don't necessarily have all of the... I've only been living here for about a year and a half, and I don't think New York City dating is as bad as people think it is.
Nice.
Yeah. I do want to read a Facebook Live comment.
Please do.
Because we had one of our words of the day just a few moments ago being Kardashian. And Gareth, who's tuned in, says he didn't give three words. He just gave a comment. Watching anything to do with the Kardashians is like watching a tampon commercial. There's pretty girls having fun, but no one really cares about the content.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
pretty accurate.
He also says, "What's up, everybody?" So,
what's up, Gareth?
Yeah, and we appreciate you and all the underdogs who've been coming along for the journey today on today's episode. Words with friends. So we're gonna take one quick break and then come back for the big close to the show. More underdog stuff after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff live radio show and podcast. Live radio show every Sunday, podcast every Monday. And today's theme is Words with Friends, part one. And a friend of the show we had stopped by today who's still in the studio with us, Selena Hill. Appreciate you. And we have, as always, in studio with us, the Underdog Stuff team, Asha Davis and Kirsten Magwood. Today's show, Words with Friends. A few closing thoughts about words. Language matters. You know, I think oftentimes we're told things that as you get a little older, they sounded good, but upon further review, they don't make sense. Like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You can put a cast on a broken bone. I've seen people live with, you're not smart enough, you'll never be anything, you're doomed, you're not beautiful. I've seen those things never get a cast and sometimes never heal. So I say that to say words actually do matter. And we get to be careful with our language. I've mentioned this before. And it's also why when Selena and I were talking, it's on purpose that I call her media mogul. Because she is. And the words that make it factual and not just hearsay is that she really does do stuff in media. And the word choice is she's at the start of her journey. And so I want us to oftentimes be mindful of things we say. A couple examples, phrases that I think you should just let go of. Yo, when we gonna get together? You know, one of these days. Language matters. Guess what? You can't find one of these days on a calendar. Language, when you start to really be tuned into this, you start listening to what you say and even what other people say. Another word to get rid of. So get rid of the phrase. We're talking about words and phrases. Let go of one of these days. Pick a date. And guess what? If you don't make the date, then recommit to a new one. But pick one. Another phrase to let go of. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. They will hurt. Let go of it. Another phrase to let go of, or word. Interested. One of my good friends, Kern, he's an author, and he was telling me a story about one of his friends called him up, was like, Kern, can you help me write this new book? I want to get started. You know how to do it. Like, we're friends. I know you'll help me because you're a good dude and we're close. And so he goes, because I'm interested in writing a book. Can you help me, Kern? He's like, nah. I don't help people who are interested in doing things. I help people who are committed. And it may seem like a subtlety, but start listening to yourself about things you're interested in and things that, like, no, I'm declaring and I'm committed to I'm going to write a book. And the reason why language matters is because in that scenario, which is maybe a bit extreme, but it's still true, Kern wasn't that into helping him because he didn't really see a sense of commitment. When you start telling people, like, what you declare to do, people start interacting with you differently. So if I tell Ash Cash, shout out to Ash Cash, host of the Ash Cash Show, which comes on Fridays here on WATR, when I told him a few years ago, I'm committed to getting into this media thing and launching my own show one day, then he comes and sits me down, shows me his show, introduces me to people here at the station. Before, if I told him, I'm thinking about, I kind of, sort of, you know, it's a little bit of a hobby, I'm interested in it, well, then he doesn't interact with me the same way. Words matter. We get to be very careful with our language. So my offer to everybody is, let go of interested. Let go of sticks and stones may break my bones. Let go of one day, because it ain't on the calendar. And start to listen to yourself more carefully and others, because words and our language, they really, really matter. And that is my closing thoughts on today's topic of words with friends and phrases. And I'm calling it part one because I like this whole idea of words. So we'll probably bring this theme back maybe next week, but definitely sometime this summer. I want to give a special shout out to all the underdogs who listened live on air or online at WATR.org or on Facebook Live. As we wave to you, we appreciate you. Also to Kirsten Magwood, to Marlon and Asha Davis for holding it down in studio today, and our special guest, Selena Hill, in the building telling us about her journey as an underdog to being on top. And she is a media mogul that we get to meet at the start of her journey. With that, live show today on Sunday. Podcast will be available on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Search Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, and you'll be able to hear this show in its entirety available tomorrow. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. More underdog stuff next week. Peace. We're out. Thank you for listening to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith podcast. New content available every week. And I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.